Hi, this is Tiffany the Lass, and I'm speaking with Misty Pinton of the Wildwood Preservation Society. Hi, Misty.
Hi, Tiffany. How are you?
Fine, thanks. Edward Abbey has a great quote, which also happens to be one of my Uncle Mitch's favorites. It's, "The idea of wilderness needs no defense. It only needs more defenders." Tell me, how and why was the Wildwood Preservation Society formed?
Well, great question. The reason it was formed was because I grew up in this neighborhood called Wildwood, and I'm actually the second generation. My parents built the house there. I grew up there. I moved away, went to Oregon for college, and then literally came back, moved back when my daughter was born, and bought a house in the same neighborhood. So my children are now 10 and 7 are growing up there. And we've been able to watch as one woodstart population moved away because of the development that happened there when my family first started building there, and then subsequently after 20 years came back and has reestablished itself in the area and used the surrounding wetlands as a foraging base. Unfortunately, within, I guess, the last 6 months, we ended up, ourselves and a number of our neighbors got notices stating that the county had received an application to rezone the foraging area that also has an active karst sinkhole on it to rezone it 8 times the density that's allowable now, which would basically create zero lot lines and duplexes. So that would obviously be very devastating to not only our way of life, but to, you know, the environment, the aquifer, the flooding in the area, and of course our endangered species, the wood storks and the gopher tortoises, and a number of other listed species that we have there. So that's what got us involved, and that's here, you know, literally in our own backyard. And since we've been able to see it for so many years, we were aware of things that quite likely even the owners of the property and the developers may not have even been aware of.
Mm-hmm. So how long has your group been around?
Well, we, our neighbors, like a lot of them, were much like myself. We've been there for many, many years. Mm-hmm. However, this group only formed as a response to the need, which was the development threat. And so once that happened, myself, because I was within 500 feet of the rezoning application, filed a petition stopping the process, and I was able to get standing. However, my group, I have a nonprofit organization called the Advocacy Consortium for the Common Good. We filed to have a group called Wildwood Preservation Society do a project that would specifically work to get a coalition together to support this particular environmental eco-niche, because it is so sensitive and so important to citizens of Leon County. And we've done quite a good job at pulling together the research that's already out there. The Blueprint 2000, which is a local group, it's an intergovernmental City of Tallahassee and Leon County group that's done a lot of research on environmental needs for the area, has done research that shows that this area should be preserved because of flood hazards and because of the need for stormwater quality to be treated before the water gets into the aquifer in this area, that it needed to be acquired. In fact, it should have been done by 2004, and it still hasn't been. So we're looking to, you know, raise the awareness that now's the time. We've got the developers of the project, the owners of the property, and all the neighbors that are now saying, look, now's the time to acquire it, and Leon County's just now going to have to come up with $2 million and match it with grant funding that we've already got our state representative, Lorianne Osley, ready to help us with the Department of Community Affairs to get the state to match the extra $2.2 million and call it a great deal for all citizens of Leon County. But we've also got the interest groups like the Audubon of Florida and the Appalachian Audubon, which is our local Audubon. We've got the Florida Public Interest Research Group. We've got the Florida Wildlife Federation, which represents 50,000 people in the state of Florida, and the Thousand Friends of Florida. All of these groups supporting specifically preserving and conserving this area, largely due to not only the aquifer needs, I should also mention the Occoquan River Soil and Water Conservation District, which is their sole mission is to protect the soil and water in Leon County. All of these groups have specifically put together and put as their platform to conserve this area. So we've done that much since our mission started, with when we found out this area was threatened by development.
I can understand why your group is so involved in this project. I have a question regarding some other conservation that's going on in Florida. Florida's Governor Jeb Bush and his cabinet members recently voted to purchase Joshua Creek, a 4,500-acre conservation area. Can you tell me what this purchase means to Floridians and conservation, and how it might help your project and the commissioners in their 60-day deadline that they're trying to work with?
Absolutely. Let's talk about Joshua Tree. First of all, it's a wonderful opportunity. It always is. Anytime that the public can get ownership of property that has as many natural resources on it as they can, it's a win. The downside for that, as you probably heard, is that it was purchased by a private owner, and then it turned around and that owner sold it for a tremendous amount more to the state. And that is, of course, is the downside for, you know, public ownership is that it likely ends up, you know, costing the taxpayers a lot of money. This particular opportunity that we're looking at in Leon County is one that, if we don't act right now, the cost of acquisition only increases. If development is done now, first of all, the impacts are that we cannot preserve something that was supposed to be preserved. So you're going to end up having the impact be flooding damage. You're going to have the impact being dirtying the water. You're going to have the impact being, you know, destroying endangered species habitat, which are unacceptable consequences. But at the same time, you're going to have monetary impacts such as expansion of capital from Fred George Road, which we know we have to have, so that the local county government is going to have to actually acquire and buy, purchase outright, the right of way on both Fred George Road and Capitol Circle. So you've got to think ahead and think about cost avoidance in those circumstances, both of which would cost probably at least as much, if not more, than the $2.2 or $2.1 million they have put up right now to do the entire acquisition of the whole parcel.
I read about the Tallahassee and Leon County's planning department's proportionate fair share requirements. It sounds like they're trying to do a lot of forward thinking that probably should have been done about 20 years ago. Is this model something new or something that other leaders in areas of big growth should follow?
Actually, this is it is something new, and it's actually something that's responding to a new state law that has just been put into place. And it is supposedly requiring the developers to do what they should have done all along, which is pay for their impacts, things like school concurrency, things that, you know, if you're going to build a neighborhood there, you should be able to also fund the roads that are there and make sure that they're able to, you know, pay for the impacts that the traffic and the schools are going to need. I think that it definitely will have some positive impacts. I think that we're so far behind the curve right now in Florida that it's going to take a while to see the positive change.
What are some of the ACCG solutions for growth management?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that question. One of the main things that we ask in the ACCG and Wildlife Preservation Society is follow the comp plan. There's a reason for your comprehensive plan. And generally speaking, it's because there's been science gone into the determination of the zoning that you have on a piece of property. Generally speaking, applications for rezoning should be something that has been intensely impactful. There should be something that's over and above an atypical or unusual circumstance that makes somebody apply for a rezoning application. A rezoning, most people don't realize, is actually a law change, just like if I was to change a law about a crime being committed. Mm-hmm. It takes a full vote of the Board of Commissioners to change a zoning on something. That's how important a land rezoning is. So what we would recommend to all citizens and to all commissioners, planning commissioners, and county commissioners is please be very, very careful when you're reviewing any rezoning that is a land use change, and it is a law change. And the reason there is such a seriousness to that is because those land use changes are so impactful. They're impactful to the people that live in those neighborhoods. They're impactful to all the things that connect us, the infrastructure, the roads that we're on, the schools that we go to, the sewers that we hook up with, the water that we drink, and of course, like we were talking about, the wildlife that also uses this habitat that we live in and that we treasure, because that's part of who we are, is our community, and we're connected to that.
Great. It sounds like that you have the support to get what you need from the commissioners in the next 60 days and express how important this is. Once you're done preserving the 160 acres of Fred George Basin, what's the next initiatives that WSS would like to work on?
Well, I don't know what WPS is going to work on next. WPS has basically a very limited focus, which is specifically on this conserving of this particular project. ACCG, on the other hand, we do a lot of local projects, and WPS was one of our what we call backyard democracy projects. Another issue, which is a completely different issue, but it's all connected, as we say, that ACCG is going to be working on, is the Clean Money, Clean Elections local issue, where we're trying to basically bring elections back to the citizenry, mm-hmm. and bring them back to issues and try and get the money out of, you know, corporate business money out of the campaign.
What's your ideas on that? How are you going to do that?
Well, there's public funding of campaigns that are voluntary, and if you get contributions from your constituencies, then you can opt out of corporate-endorsed campaigns.
Great. Well, once you get that program running, I'm sure Pirate Pods would love to talk to you about that, too.
Yeah, well, we have to do it as that we have a charter government in Leon County, and we have to get a petition threshold met, which is 10%. So if I figure out how to do that, I'll let you know.
Okay.
It's going to be a lot of field work.
Thank you, Misty. Is there any other things you would like to say before we close?
Yeah, I would just like to say that a lot of people think that there's too much to be done and it's too overwhelming, and what I would like to make sure everyone knows is that do what you're good at, and what you care about is what you're good at. And most of my neighbors said you can't fight City Hall, and when I said yes you can and you can win as long as you care and you do it right, then they were right there with me, and it's made all the difference in the world. In fact, it'll be instead of a bunch of duplexes where our houses are now flooded and the woodsorts have nowhere to go, it's going to be a park for our whole county to enjoy. And it's only because a lot of people cared enough to do their best and give what they had to give. And there was no money, only love and hope. Yes. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Would you mind giving an R for Pirate Pods and everything else?
R!
Thank you, Misty.
All right. Have a good one.
You too.